Amen. So we're there in Nehemiah 13. And in Nehemiah 13, we come to a time where God's people, you know, this is after the captivity, and they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem. And we see that in Nehemiah 13 at this point, they've built the wall, they're building the temple. And Nehemiah at this time, Nehemiah has been appointed the governor of the land of Judah. So Nehemiah had a position of leadership in the land of Judah. He was appointed the governor. And there came a point in the ministry in the time of Nehemiah where Nehemiah actually had to go away from the people. There came a point in this time where he had to leave and go back to Artaxerxes, the king. Nehemiah 13, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem," in verse 6. "For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king." So Nehemiah was asked to go back to Artaxerxes the king. And as the saying goes, when the cat's away, the mice will play. When the leadership is gone, that's when things usually go bad. When the leadership is away, when the supervision is gone, that's when things usually take a turn for the worse. And it's no different here. Nehemiah goes away and the people make a mess of a situation. And you know, it's true. Like if you have little kids, if you don't watch your kids for a certain time, you know they're going to make a mess. You know things are going to get broken. You know, if you own a company or if you have a job and the boss is gone for a long time, there's no oversight there, things in the company are going to suffer. In the same way, we see here that Nehemiah, he had to go away. And Nehemiah, when he returns to Jerusalem, he finds a mess. And of course, like a good boss, he's going to fight to get those things back in order. Nehemiah 13, look at verse number 11. Here we have Nehemiah back in Jerusalem. It says, notice, then what? Then contended I with the rulers, verse 11. Then contended I with the rulers. Notice he's fighting with people. He's contending with people because he comes back to Jerusalem and the situation is a mess. It says, then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. We'll go to verse number 17. Notice what it says. It says again, then I, notice, contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? So Nehemiah goes away, and upon his return, he sees that everything is in shambles, everything's a mess, and he comes back and he has to fight with people. He has to fight with them to get things back in order because the people made a mess of things. And look, this is how it is. When there is no supervision, oftentimes people will make a mess of a situation. Can you place there Nehemiah? That's our text for this morning, but go to Colossians 3. Actually, go to 1 Thessalonians 2, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 2. And, you know, as Christians, we should always do right whether or not the supervisor is watching us. Whether or not the authority is physically there looking at us, you go to 1 Thessalonians 2, whether they're there or not, you should do right regardless of their presence or not. And the people, Nehemiah's people, we see that Nehemiah leaves and they make a mess of a situation to the point Nehemiah comes back and he's going to have to fight with some people. 1 Thessalonians 2, look at verse number 4. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4, the Bible says, but as we were allowed of God to be put, notice, in trust with the gospel, it says, even so we speak. Notice his next phrase. It says, not as pleasing men. It says, but God, which trieth our hearts. And this is the way that we should live our lives. We should live our lives not to please men. And there are things that you have in your life that you have been put in trust with. And here Paul is saying that we have been put in trust with the gospel. And the way we live, the way we speak, it's not a life to please men. It's a life to please God. Because when you live a life just to please men, you're only going to do right when man is watching you. You're only going to do right when the authority in your life is actually there. But there are times when Nehemiah has to go away. And you have been put in trust to do that which is right, whether or not they're there or not. Go to Colossians 3, if you would. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And, you know, especially for young people, you know, teenagers should do right whether or not mom and dad are around. You know, sometimes teenagers, the reason why mom and dad can't trust you is because they just know if I'm not there, you're going to make a mistake. They just know if I'm not around, you're going to mess up your life. You're going to make the wrong choices. But, you know, young people, teenagers should choose, you know what, I'm going to do right whether or not mom or dad are there. And look, that's how you earn trust from people, when you can do right when they're not watching you. You know, at your work, your boss should be able to trust you to do a task whether or not he's there. We should be doing everything we do should be not to please men, but to the Lord. Colossians 3, notice verse number 22. Colossians 3, 22. Notice what it says. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And then it says this. It says, not with eye service. Now, the context is here is that when you have a job, your job is to obey your master in all things. But then it says, not with eye service. Notice, as men pleasers. Meaning what? Meaning we don't just serve our masters, obey our masters only with eye service, only when they're watching us, only when they're around. It says, but in singleness of heart, fearing who? Fearing God. See, whether or not the authority is around, whether or not they're there, you should choose to obey. Why? Because that is who you are. You show your character of who you are by what you do when nobody's watching you. And so if you want to earn trust in your company or with your parents' kids, then choose to do right when they're not there. Choose to do right when nobody's around. In the same way, you know, people, when the pastor's away, the mice will play, right? People will automatically just choose not to go to church. And somehow the attendance usually drops when the pastor's away. But that is not how we should be. We should live a life not to please men, but God, which trieth our hearts. He replaced it in Colossians, but go back to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13. And in Nehemiah 13, we see that Nehemiah comes back to a mess. And we see that Nehemiah, he fights to get things back in order. And in Nehemiah 13, look at Nehemiah's prayer in verse 14. Nehemiah 13, verse 14, he says this. He says, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. Nehemiah said, God, remember me for this good that I have done in my life. And here we see the good that Nehemiah did. And in this story, we see the failures of Nehemiah's people. And I'm preaching on the failures of Nehemiah's people. See, the people failed when Nehemiah left. The people made a mess of their lives when Nehemiah was gone. And Nehemiah had to come back and set some things back in order. And there's three lessons that we can learn from the failure of Nehemiah's people in this story. The first failure that we see from Nehemiah's people, we see the failure to understand position. The failure to understand position. Nehemiah 13, look at verse number 4. In verse number 4, the Bible says, and before this, notice what it says. It says, Eliashib the priest. Now, Eliashib, he had a position. He had a job. Eliashib was, at this time, he was the high priest. And like in any job, there are duties along with that job. Eliashib the priest, it says what? It says, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God was allied unto Tobiah. See, Eliashib was the high priest, and his job, his task was to have the oversight of the chamber of the house of God. It was to make sure that the chamber was the way that God wanted it to be. That was his task. That was his position in life. But notice what he does in verse 5. It says, and he, Eliashib, had prepared for him, that's Tobiah, a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was, notice, commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. So we see that Eliashib, his job was to make sure that that chamber had the meat offerings, to make sure that that chamber had the frankincense, to make sure it had the vessels, the tithes of the corn, the new wine, those things that were commanded to be given unto the Levites. That was his task. That was his job. That was his position to make sure, hey, take care of this room. And what does he do? He gets rid of those things and he prepares a great chamber for Tobiah. See, Eliashib failed in his position. Eliashib failed in his job. The one thing he had to do was have oversight of the chamber, and he completely ruined it. And notice what happens in verse number 7. Nehemiah comes back, and of course he's not happy. Nehemiah 13:7 says, and I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. So you have to understand, it was not Eliashib's position to take out those things. It was not his job. It was not his. It was his role to get rid of what God has given him and to allow Tobiah to come in. And in the same way, in your life, you have a position in your life, and people fail in their position because they don't do what God has called them to do. See, whatever your position in life is, you ask yourself, you know, what is your position? If you were to ask me, hey, what is my position? Yes, I have a job here at church, but you know what? My position is that of a father. My position is that of a husband. And my role, my task, my position in life is to be that father, is to be that husband that God has called me to be. And I will fail in my position if I don't fulfill that task. But you in your life, you have a position. You may be a mother, a stay-at-home mother, and you have kids. God has allowed you to be home to watch those kids, to raise them for God, and you will fail in your position if you don't do what God has called you to do. So you may be sitting here, and your position is that of a single person. You don't have a spouse, you don't have kids, but your position, young person, is to stay pure and to stay holy and to live for God, to use your energy, to use your strengths for serving the Lord. See, whatever you have in life has been given to you by God, and your position is there for a purpose. and God expects you to do some things. In Eliashib, we see that he failed in his position because he took that which God gave him and allowed the world to come in. You see, what does Tobiah want to do? The world, what they want to do in your position is that they want to move in. See, if you are a leader anywhere, if you are a husband or a father, what Tobiah wants to do in your life, he wants to get rid of the good and move into the bad. Allow the bad things to come into your life. If you have a home, you know, the world wants to come into that home and corrupt it. Your home should be used to glorify the Lord. But Tobiah wants to move in to take over, take out that which is good and allow the evil to come in. See, whatever position you have in life, you got to realize that the world wants to take over. The devil wants to come in to that position. You ought to ask yourself, you know, what is your position? And along with your position in life, there are certain expectations. Keep your place there in Nehemiah. Go to Proverbs 16, if you would. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. So we see the failure to understand position. Eliashib failed in his position, and you must understand whatever your position is. That your position that you have right now has been given to you from God, but it is also meant for God. See, as a husband and a father, I don't have the right to live my life any way that I want to live it. Why? Because God allowed me to have my wife and my children so I could steward them for him. You in your life, whatever position you have in your life, whether it's you even working a job, if you have a job, your job is not to please men, it's to please the Lord. At your work, your position is not to please your boss. And look, you'll be a better employee when you please the Lord. It'll make you a better employee towards your boss. But your position, not only is it from God, but it is for God. Proverbs 16, notice verse number 3. The Bible says, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Notice what it says in verse 4. It says, the Lord hath made all things. See, God made all things. God made you. God made me. God made your position. God gave you your position. Notice what it says, for himself. See, the position you have in life, it's not for you. It's not for you to do whatever it is that you want to do in your life. It's not for you to take out the vessels and allow Tobiah to move into your position. No, it's for you to serve him, to please him. The Lord hath made all things for you. No, for himself. Everything you have, not only is it from God, but it is for God. And whatever position you have, it is meant for him. It is not meant just for us. Go, if you would, back to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. So ask yourself, you know, what is your position in life? You may be sitting here, maybe you're older, you're retired, maybe you have more time on your hands. Well, the time that you have has been given to you by God, so you should make sure that you live for God with that time. You know, enjoy your time off, take some time off, relax, but make sure that God is there in the time that he has given you in your retirement. Or if you're a young person, realize that your body is not for you to do whatever you want with. God expects you to stay holy, to stay pure. God wants you to avoid fornication. And young person, your life is not for you to do whatever you want because you think you have freedom, or you think you're strong, or you think you have whatever it is you have. You ought to realize that your life, your time as a young person, is to use that strength to live for God. In Colossians 1, notice verse number 16, Colossians 1, 16, it says, notice, for by him, in verse 16, were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Notice what it says. It says, all things were created by him, but notice, and for him. See, if you have a purpose in life and you don't fulfill that purpose, then you're not going to live a happy life. Because everything was created for him, by him, but also it is meant for him. Verse 17, it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, notice, he might have the preeminence. See, in every position in your life, whatever that may be, in all things, he needs to have the preeminence in that position. And Eliashib failed in life. He failed in his position because he took that which God has given him, and he gave it to the world. And God has given you certain things in your life, and he expects you to steward those things, not for your own pleasure. No, it's for him, to make sure that he has a preeminence in all things. And look, and we will fail in our lives if we don't fulfill the position that God has given us. Go back to, keep your place in Colossians. Go back to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah chapter number 13. See, if you're just a child, you have a role, you have a position. If you're just a child, then your position, child, is to obey your parents in all things. To please your parents, to obey your parents in all things, because that's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Nehemiah 13, but what is your position in life? You know, ask yourself, are there things in your life, in your role, in your position that are causing you to fail in that role? that are causing you to be maybe a bad employee, to be a bad Christian, to be a bad husband, a bad child? Are there things that are causing you to fail? And if there are, there's something you should do. And we see what Nehemiah does in verse number 8. Nehemiah 13:8, the Bible says, "And it grieved me sore." Notice what Nehemiah does. It says, "Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber." Nehemiah comes back. And does he leave the things there? Does he leave the household stuff there? No, Nehemiah shows up, and what he does is he takes those things and he throws them out the window. See, in your position in your life, you got to realize that there may be some things there that just need to go. If there may be some things in your life, Christian, that need to go. And look, all of us have a position of being ambassadors for Christ. We're all called to be soul winners. And if you're not a soul winner, you know, what's stopping you from going out preaching the gospel? And if there's something you can think of that's stopping you, then that may need to be cast forth. You may need to throw that out the window. Why? Because your position is there, not for you, but it's for God. And we see Nehemiah, he doesn't leave the stuff there. He says, you know what, there's a problem. So I need to get rid of some things in my life, purge some things out of my life. Go to Proverbs 16. Keep your place there in Nehemiah, but go to Proverbs 16 again, if you would. Proverbs chapter 16. So in your position, in your life, are there things that are causing you to fail in that position? You know, I myself, as a husband and a father, I don't have time or the luxury to go home to play video games hours on end, because that would cause me to fail in my role as a husband and father. You know, as a Christian, there's some things that I want to do, but you know what? Some things need to go, because going out soul winning once a week is more important than some of those things. See, in your life, if your job, if you're failing at your job and your position, you know, what's there? Is there maybe some attitude that needs to go out the window? Whatever position you have, you ought to realize that if you're failing in that area, there's some things just need to go. Proverbs 16, those verse number 17. Proverbs 16, 17, the Bible says, "The highway of the upright is to do what? Is to what? To depart from evil." To depart from some things which are harmful, which are hurtful. Look, it says the highway of the upright. It is okay in life to sometimes get rid of some things in life, to get rid of some things that don't matter. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. So in your life, realize that there may be some things that are hindering you from fulfilling your position. And Nehemiah, he didn't just leave the things there. No, he got rid of them. He cleaned house, if you would. Keep your place there in Proverbs, but go back to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13. But it's not enough in your position just to get rid of some things. And look, you should get rid of some things, but you know what? You also need to put some things back in your life. Nehemiah 13, look at verse number 9. Nehemiah 13, 9, it says, "Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers." And notice what Nehemiah does. It says, "And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense." See, in your life, it's not enough to get rid of some things. And you should get rid of some things, but you know what? You should bring back some of the things that belong to God. Nehemiah, what he does is he brings back the vessels of the house of God. And in your life, when you clean up your life, when you get rid of some things that don't belong there, make sure you bring God back in that place. Make sure you bring the Lord back in that place. Because if you're failing in your position, then you got to realize you're not doing something that's according to the book. And it's not enough to get rid of some things. You need to make sure that the Word of God comes into that void and helps you clean up that area in your life to help you fulfill that position. Go back to Colossians 1, if you would. You should be playing Colossians 1. Colossians 1. See, in everything that God has given you, you ought to realize that He is the key to fixing everything. Colossians 1, notice verse number 17 again. And we saw it before. It says, "And He," in verse 17, "is before all things." And notice what it says. It says, "And by Him," notice, "all things consist." It says by Him. By who? By Jesus Christ, everything consists. Your life consists by Jesus Christ. Your position consists by Jesus Christ. Everything you've been given consists by Jesus Christ. So it's not enough in your life to get rid of some things. No, you need to bring Jesus Christ back into some things in your life. See, if you're failing, for example, in your finances, maybe you should look at the Word of God and see how you should run your finances to fix those finances. If you're failing as an employee, maybe you should use the principles of the Word of God to tell you how to be a better employee. If you're failing as a husband or a father, look, you need to have Jesus Christ back in that area and tell you how to do your things. Why? Because by Him, all things consist. All things consist by Jesus Christ. And it's not enough to get rid of some things. No, we need to make sure that He is in those things. And so we see the first failure of Nehemiah's people, the failure to understand position. And look, in life, You will succeed in life if you just fulfill whatever role God has given you in life. If you fulfill your role the way God wants you to fulfill it, you will succeed. Because most people in this world, they fail in their position. They fail at their jobs. They fail as a young person. They fail by ruining their life, committing fornication, doing drugs and alcohol. They fail because they don't fulfill the position God gave them. You know, as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a wife, the way you succeed is by the word of God. And the world fails the majority of the time. But Christians should be the one that are succeeding. Why? Because we must understand our position. And the position we have, not only has it been given from God, but it is also meant for God as well. Go back to Nehemiah 13, if you would. Nehemiah 13. So we see the failure to understand position. Not only that, we see another failure of Nehemiah's people. We see the failure to develop perception. Not only do we see the failure to understand position, but we see the failure to develop perception. I want you to notice what it says in Nehemiah 13, verse 10. It says, "And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field." Verse 11, "Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place." I want you to notice the word it says. It says, "And I perceived." See, Nehemiah came into a situation and nobody told him, hey, the Levites weren't paid. Nobody told him, hey, since the situation's a mess. No, Nehemiah, he saw the situation and he just perceived. He was able to look at things and he just understood, you know what, the Levites haven't been paid. You know what, the Levites are out there doing their work, and Nehemiah was able to just notice things without being told. See, nobody came to Nehemiah and said, hey, Nehemiah, the Levites didn't get paid. No, Nehemiah had perception. And the people, they failed in developing perception. And in your life, you will fail as a Christian if you don't develop perception. What does it mean to perceive something? When we perceive something, we become aware of it or notice it. Sometimes we perceive things by using our senses of sight, hearing, and smell, or we can use our mind to perceive things, which means that we are able to recognize and understand them. You know, another way of saying it is you read between the lines, right? You're able to perceive things. And Nehemiah, he was able to just see a situation, and he understood, you know what, this isn't right. Something's not right. And we see two areas in this story where God's people failed in their perception. And in your life, there's two areas that I want to focus on. And the first area is you must develop perception in your relationships. You must develop perception in your relationships. Go back to verse number 4, Nehemiah 13, 4. I want you to notice in verse 4, it says, "And before this," notice Eliashib the priest, who was a spiritual leader, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God. Notice what it says about Eliashib. It says, "was allied unto Tobiah." See, Eliashib, who was a spiritual leader, was allied unto Tobiah. And there's something you must know about this man, Tobiah. Tobiah was a bad man. Tobiah was a wicked man. Tobiah was actually the enemy. Here we have Eliashib, who did not have what? He did not have perception. But Nehemiah perceived Tobiah is not a good guy. Tobiah is actually an enemy of God's people. And here we have Eliashib, who's supposed to be for God, allying up with somebody who is a bad man. Go to Nehemiah 2, if you would. Nehemiah 2, in verse number 10. I want to show you that this man, he was not a good man. And in your life, you must learn to develop some perception with the people that you allow to influence you in your life. Nehemiah 2, notice verse number 10, the Bible says, "When Sanballat the Horonite," and notice what it says, and we have Tobiah. Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it. Notice, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. See, Tobiah, the thought of God's people succeeding, the thought of them winning in life, it grieved him exceedingly. See, Tobiah was not for Eliashib. Tobiah was not for God's people. He did not want them to win. No, it actually, he didn't like it. He got mad about it. It grieved him exceedingly, the thought that this person was going to win. Go to Nehemiah 4, if you would. Nehemiah 4, look at verse number 1. Nehemiah 4, 1. Nehemiah 4, 1, the Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." Here we have the enemies of God. They're mocking God's people. They're angry with God's people. Verse 2, "And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" And notice what it says. It says in verse 3, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him." And wouldn't you think if Tobiah was a good guy, he'd say, hey, you know what, that's not right. Hey, you know what, these are God's people. Hey, you know what, leave them alone. They're doing a great work. But notice what he says. And he said, notice, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Notice, Tobiah is mocking God's people. He's mocking the fact that they're going to win, that they're going to succeed, that they're going to build a wall. He's not for them, he's against them. But the people, what did they lack? They lacked perception. And in your life, you will fail in your life if you don't learn to develop some perception with the people that you surround yourself with. The people that you allow to influence in your life can either make you or break you. At this time, if you would have asked, hey, what do you think of Tobiah, Eliashib? Eliashib would have said, you know what? Tobiah, he's my ally. Tobiah, he's my friend. Tobiah, he's a good guy. He's such a good guy. I'm going to get rid of the things of God and allow him to move into my life. But if you would have asked Nehemiah, hey, Nehemiah, what do you think about this guy? Nehemiah would have said, that's a wicked man. Nehemiah would have said, stay away from that man because he's going to hurt you, because he's not for you. He's actually against you. And in your life, are there some allies that you have in your life that you think are your friends, but really they're not helping you, they're actually hurting you? See, you must learn to develop perception in the people that you allow to influence you, because your relationships can make you or they can break you. Keep placing Nehemiah 13. Go to Proverbs 12 if you would. Proverbs 12. See, you must develop perception with relationships. People come and go from church because they don't develop perception in relationships, and they allow bad people to influence them, and they make the wrong decision. Proverbs 12, notice verse number 11. It says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Notice, but he that followeth vain persons, notice, is void of understanding. It says, he that followeth vain persons is what is void of understanding. This person lacks perception. And look, we live in a world where people generally, they lack perception. When people are following celebrities who are the most vain people that there are, it shows that the world, they're void of understanding. They lack some perception. Because in your life, you ought to realize that the people you follow, the people you allow to influence you, they can make you or they can destroy you. You're in Proverbs 12, we'll go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, notice verse number 20. Proverbs 13, 20. Proverbs 13, 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron. And you ought to surround yourself with people that actually make you better. See, if you want to become a good Christian, then surround yourself with good Christians. If you want to be a soul winner, then hang out with soul winners. If you want to have the right relationships in your life, hang out with people who are doing it right. If you don't want to fail in your finances, then don't hang out with broke people, because they're going to teach you wrong things, right? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But notice, it says, but a companion of fools, notice, shall be destroyed. When you're friends, when you're allied with people who are not for you, they're actually against you, it doesn't say you might be destroyed. No, it says you will be destroyed. When you choose to not have perception with the people that you allow yourself to be influenced by. So ask yourself, are there friends, are there allies that you have? They're not really for you, but really they're actually against you. They don't really help you become better in life. They actually make you worse in life. They don't make you become a better Christian. They make you become a worse Christian. They don't help you make the right choices. They actually make you make the wrong choices. Why? Because a companion of fools, it doesn't say he might be destroyed. It says he shall be destroyed. And we see the failure of Nehemiah's people, the failure to develop perception. Go to Proverbs 14, if you would. You're in Proverbs 13. Go to Proverbs 14. And when it comes to relationships, you know, you are the one who allows people to influence you. Nobody forces you to be influenced by anyone. You choose in your life who you allow to influence you. Proverbs 14, notice verse number 7. It says, verse 7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man. It doesn't say stay. It doesn't say like, hey, hang out, let them influence you. It says, go away. Go from the presence of a foolish man. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. When you perceive in life, you know what, this relationship is actually hurtful. This relationship is not really helping me. It's actually discouraging me. This relationship is not really making me a better person. It's making me worse. Then you know what? You need to go from that presence of that man and realize that the relationships you have can make you or break you, and you must learn to develop perception in your relationships. Not everyone needs to influence you. And you ought to realize you choose in life who you allow to influence in your life. So when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge, when you realize, hey, this is wrong counsel, this is a bad friend, you need to go from the presence of that man. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And like, how do you know when it's a bad relationship? How do you know when it's a bad friend? You know it's a bad friend, it's a bad relationship when they cause you to sin. When they cause you to sin, you know that it's a bad relationship. You go to 1 Corinthians 15. See, if you have a friend that wants you, for example, to do drugs and alcohol, that's a bad friend. You need to get away from the presence of that man and realize that if they cause you to sin, then that's not a good relationship. See, Tobiah, what did Tobiah do? Tobiah made it so that Eliashib, maybe without even knowing, he took what God has given him and he got rid of it. He took out that which was good and he allowed Tobiah to influence him, to move into his life. And look, as Christians, we must realize that a bad relationship is defined by when people, when somebody causes you to sin. When somebody causes you to sin, you got to realize, you know, that needs to go. And so think about the communication you have with a relationship. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Notice verse 33. It says, be not deceived in verse 33. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It says evil communications corrupt good manners. So you're probably sitting here, you're thinking, well, hey, I don't do drugs. Hey, I'm not influenced to do those wicked things. But you know what? Are you influenced to gossip? Are you influenced to have evil communications with people? You say, oh, but he's my friend, he's my ally. But look, evil communications will only corrupt you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And when you find yourself in the sin of gossip, for example, you got to realize that that may be a bad relationship. You may think they're your ally, but really they're just there to hurt you. And they're going to corrupt you. So in your life, you must learn to develop some perception with the people that you allow to influence in your life. Because you know what? Not everyone's for you. There are people that want you to fail. There are people that are out there just to hurt you. And Tobiah, his goal was to make sure that you don't fulfill your position in life. And with these people, they lacked what? They lacked perception. So in your life, realize that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools, it doesn't say he might be destroyed. It says he shall be destroyed. So you got to protect yourself. Develop some perception and realize that people can make you or they can break you. Go back to Nehemiah 13. But we see another area where the people failed in their perception. Nehemiah 13. Not only must you develop perception in your relationships, but you must develop perception in your walk with God. You must develop perception in your walk with God. Nehemiah 13, verse 10 again, it says, and I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And gathered them together and set them in their place. You got to realize that Nehemiah's people, they didn't see anything wrong with what was going on. But Nehemiah, who was a spiritual man of God, realized, you know what? We're not right with God. The house of God is forsaken and people didn't even notice. And in your life, you must develop perception in your own personal walk with God. Go if you would to Psalm 4, if you would. Psalm 4. Psalm 4. And in Lamentations 3, the Bible says this. It says, let us search and try our ways. It says, let us search and try our ways. You go to Psalm 4. And so you got to ask yourself in your walk with God, you know, how are you doing in your walk with God, Christian? You say, I think I'm pretty okay. Well, how are you doing with your Bible reading? How are you doing in your prayer life? How are you doing with your church attendance? How are you doing with your soul winning? How are you doing with the relationships with the people that are around you? You know, how is your walk with God? And it's obviously not something we actually need to answer. We need to ask ourselves these questions. And obviously none of us have attained. We all have areas in our life where we must grow up, where we must learn to develop perception whether or not we're right with God, whether or not we're walking with God. Psalm 4, look, notice verse number 3, it says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Notice what it says. It says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. It says, commune with your own heart upon your bed. You know, the Bible says that our spirit bears, or that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yeah. You know, we should be able to know when we're right with God. And sometimes what we need to do is learn to develop some perception in our walk with God and go home, lay down and ask ourselves in our heart, you know, where am I with God? Am I right with the Lord? And if not, then those are some areas in your life that you need to work on. And don't be a blinded Christian like these people who the house of God is forsaken. They're not right with God and they don't even know it. And they need to have Nehemiah come and tell them, hey, this isn't right. Get your life back in order. So ask yourself, Christian, how is your walk with God? You must learn to develop perception in your relationship with him. So what do we see? We see the failure to develop perception. You must learn to develop perception not only with your relationships, but in your walk with God. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 13, if you will, Nehemiah 13. So we see the failures of Nehemiah's people. We see the failure to understand position. We see the failure to develop perception. And we see the failure to live by principles. The failure to live by principles. Notice what it says in verse 15. It says, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing sheaves and leading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. I want you to notice Nehemiah comes back. And on the Sabbath day, what these people are doing is that instead of keeping the Sabbath and not working and not buying and not selling, they're busy buying, selling, and doing that which they're not supposed to do. It says in verse 16, there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Verse 17, then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? See, it was wrong for the people to buy and sell, to work on the Sabbath day. But you know what? It's more convenient in life to do what you want to do. It's more convenient in life when you can buy something, when you can sell something, when you can make some money, when you can do whatever it is that you want to do. But all the while, the Word of God, the principles of the Bible says, hey, he told these people, keep the Sabbath. Hey, don't buy, don't sell. But you know what? When you live for pleasure over principle, you will ruin your life. When you do something out of convenience because it feels right, when you decide, you know what? I know what the Bible says, but I'm just going to do it anyway. You will fail in life. Living a life of pure pleasure does not bring satisfaction. You will fail. And as Christians, we must do what? We must live by principles. And we see the failure of God's people who, yes, they knew what the Bible says. Yes, they knew the principle of the Word of God. Yes, they knew what it says, but all the while, they're going to do what they're going to do. All the while, forget principle, we're choosing pleasure. And we see that the people failed. You know, what are principles? What does it mean to live by principles? Principles are a fundamental truth that serve as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior. It says principles are a fundamental truth that serves as the foundation of a system or belief or behavior. See, you and I would all agree that we would say that the Bible is the final authority on all matters of faith and practice. Wouldn't we all say that? Wouldn't we all believe that the Word of God is the final authority? Wouldn't we say these are the principles that we believe? Well, if that is so, then principles should dictate not only what we believe, but also how we live. Amen. See, the Word of God should be the final authority on all matters of faith. Yes, what we believe, but also and practice. Amen. See, these people, they were not practicing by the principles of the Word of God. They were practicing their pleasure. They were doing what they wanted to do because it was convenient, because it felt right, because it's what they just chose to do. And so if we believe that this book are the principles, the foundation of everything we only not only believe and do, then this book should guide how we behave in life. We should be a people who live by principles. Meaning what? Meaning sometimes in life, you're just going to have to say no to some things of the pleasure. Sometimes in life, you're going to have to deny yourself and say, you know what? That is not right. You know what? I'm not going to go that way. Why? Because we live by principles and not by pleasure. You don't just do what you want to do. No, you do what God tells us to do. Right? Go through to Titus 2. Titus chapter number 2. See, principles should dictate what we do in life. Titus chapter number 2. And if you look at people who live purely for pleasure, I mean, don't we see the results of people out walking these streets who chose to live their life to do nothing but satisfy the lust of the flesh? To do nothing but live for pleasure? It ruins people. You know, celebrities will kill themselves. And they have everything they want, everything they you could possibly afford. But they end up killing themselves. Why? Because a life of pleasure will ruin you. And if you want to succeed in life, you must choose to put principles above pleasure. Titus 2, notice verse number 11. Here we have Paul speaking to Titus. Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Notice, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So here we see the principles that Paul is telling Titus to live by. He's telling Titus to live how? To live soberly, to live righteously, to live godly. But he also says this. He says, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. See, if you're going to live for pleasure, then you're going to do whatever you want to do. But if you choose to live for principle, you're going to have to learn to deny yourself. You have to learn to deny the lust of the flesh. Learn to deny whatever it is that you want to do, which means what? Which means if I live for principle and I believe that the word of God is the final authority on all matters of faith and practice, then I'm going to see things like going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's going to make me go soul winning. Do I always want to? No. But you know what? We must live by principle. We do it because it's the foundation of what we do in life. If I see things like, hey, your body is not your own, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, then guess what? I can't put in my body whatever it is that I want to put into it. I can't put drugs and alcohol in my body. Why? Because we live by principle and not for pleasure. See, when we look at the word of God, it should dictate the things that we do in life. But notice what it says in verse 15. Notice what Paul told Titus in verse 15. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And I love the last phrase. It says, let no man despise thee. He said, let no man despise thee. Because when you choose to live a life of principle over pleasure, guess what? People won't like you. People will actually despise you. You're actually going to become the enemy to people. When you choose to be a person who lives by principles and not for pleasure. And Paul told Titus, hey, let no man despise thee. Do you think Nehemiah was a man who was living for popularity? Do you think Nehemiah was a man who wanted to be loved by the world? No, Nehemiah came back and he only wanted to do that which was right. Go to Nehemiah 13, if you would. Go back to Nehemiah 13. So don't live for popularity. Realize that when you live for principle, people won't like you. But you know what? That's okay. Because we don't do things to please men. We do things to please God. Nehemiah 13. And we got to see that Nehemiah, he didn't really care what people thought about him. Nehemiah was not worried about being popular or being in the in crowd. Nehemiah 13, verse 19, the Bible says, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, notice, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants said, I at the gates, that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. Notice Nehemiah, he shuts the gates. And in your life, it's okay to build some walls up sometime. It's okay to protect yourself from some things. Verse 20, so the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Notice, then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath day. See, Nehemiah, he goes to these people. He says, you come back here and I'm throwing you out. You come back here, I'm laying hands on you. And you got to realize in your life is precious and your life is short. And you got to protect your life. How? By choosing to live for principle. Protect your life by doing that which is right, because at the end of the day, you're going to live with whatever decision you do. Whatever choices you make, you're going to live with them. And you're going to suffer the consequences when you choose to do a life to fulfill yourself. And we see that Nehemiah, he didn't care what people thought about him. He was only willing to do what God wanted him to do. And your life, you will not be popular in life when you choose to live for principle. But that's okay. In verse 22, it says, and I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Then he says again, remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. See, Nehemiah, he said, remember me, O my God. See, Nehemiah was not choosing to please men. He was choosing to please God. The Bible says in Galatians 1:10, it says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And in our lives, we should choose to live for principle over pleasure, meaning you're not going to be popular, meaning people won't like you. In fact, people might despise thy youth, but that's okay, because you know what? As God's people, we need some discipline. We need to live by principles and not for pleasure. So in Nehemiah 13, what do we see? We see the failures of Nehemiah's people. Number one, we see the failure to understand position. You in your life, you have a position. You have a role. You have a job. You have a task. You got to make sure that you do what God wants you to do with it. Number two, we see the failure to develop perception. You got to develop perception in your relationships, perception in your walk with God. And number three, we see the failure to live by principles. And you in your life, you will ruin your life when you live for pleasure and not for principles. Nehemiah 13, look at verse number 14 again. It says, and we'll end here. It says, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. You know, if I were to ask God, God, what do you think of Nehemiah? I think God would have said, you know, Nehemiah was a great man. Nehemiah succeeded in his life. Did people like him? No. Did he have to fight with people? Yes. But did he do right? Yes, he did. And that's the life that you and I should live, a life where we don't fail in our lives. We need to make sure we take heed, take warning to what the Word of God has told us. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, dear God. I thank you for your word. And I just pray that you be with our church and be with anyone that's here, God. And I just ask that you please be with our lives. Help us to always make wise choices, to put you first, to be pleasing to you, God. And I just pray that you be with our pastor, God, as he's away, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Just in your name, pray. Amen.